Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for the honor to serve on the front lines where the fighting is the fiercest. We give thanks by living thankful for the daily reminders of your presence in our lives. Use us. Let our words, actions, and deeds reflect your grace and mercy. Remix us. Take what is impure and unclean and renew, restore, and replenish us to do over and abundantly what is needed to heal our families, nurture our neighborhoods, and deliver our community. Connect us in an unbreakable spirit of brotherhood for a greater good beyond ourselves. Fill us with the resolve to be our brother's keeper in all seasons. Meet us wherever we are to guide us wherever you desire us to be. Give us the strength, integrity, character, and audacious boldness as we walk into wholeness as men of purpose that serve as living examples of love, faith, and commitment. This is our prayer as your sons. Amen, amen, amen.
Waking up.
I'm living life like a punk. Time to trust. My auntie got enough problems of her own. You supposed to be cold. I agree. I gotta be the man I'm supposed to be. But negative fatigue is all you seem to ever see. I admit, I've done some dumb shit. And I'm probably gonna do some more. You shouldn't hold that against me, though.
Why not?
Why not? My music's all that I got. But sometimes I'm speaking just for this to be manifested. I know you know what I'm gonna say this to you. Get high, but I don't get too high. So what's the limit supposed to be? That must be why you can't get yourself up out the bed before three. You need to get up, get out, cut that bull out. Ain't you sick and tired of having to do it out? Damn, what up with all these questions? You acting so you know something I know. Do you have any suggestions? Cause every job I get is cruel and demeaning. Sick of taking trash out of toilet bowl cleaning. But I'm also sick and tired of struggling. I never ever thought I'd have to resort to drug smuggling. Nah, that ain't what I'm about. See, no one just continue traveling this route without any doubt or fear. I know the Lord ain't brought me this far so he can drop me off here. Then I make myself clear.
You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. You need to get up, get out, and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get high. You need to get up, get out, and get something. How will you make it if you never even try? You need to get up, get out, and get something. Cause you and I got to do for you and I.
Well, get up, stand up, so what's said, you pinhead? See, when I was a youngster, used to wear them country pro kids. My mama made me do it, but the devil, he made me smarter. Told me to jack them weak suckers, but they heard it starter than the middle school. I was a bigger fool, I wore a tank top.
S-Dot has a get-it-done mindset when it comes to achieving. Sharing breakthrough strategies and overcoming solutions for everyday people, he is a communicator of change. S.Dot's most impressive credential is that he keeps it 100 and doesn't water down the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is this refreshing forthrightness that enables him to speak with a right now relevance to people from many walks of life. His can't stop, don't stop, won't stop attitude is infectious to those who have experienced this inspiring author, motivational speaker, and empowerment coach that is committed to helping those most in need succeed in love and life.
I'm talking about Black Love.
Welcome to the Black Love Experience, hosted by inspiring author S.Dot, exclusively presented by the S.Dot Files.
It's your man, S.Dot, on the Black Love Experience. Want to welcome each and every one of you to another episode of the Black Love Experience. Today's episode is entitled, Get Up, Get Out, and Get Something. Because many of us feel like outcasts. Some of us are trying to fit in places that we're clearly called to stand out. So on this show, we wanted to share a little bit of inspirational music, play a couple of motivational clips, take some calls, and let's chop it up about where we are in love and life. As you know, the Black Love Experience celebrates inspirational relationships because I recognize it's time to remix our images in society. We must no longer allow ourselves to be defined by others and confined to their expectations and limitations. We must liberate ourselves from whatever shackles that are on us, whether those shackles be from others and oftentimes from ourselves. So the Black Love Experience will consistently hear and share suggestions and solutions to assist in the progression of Black people. Black Love Experience's responsibility is to the restoration of the Black family. This show is focused as a platform for Black men, Black women, and Black children to come together as a Black family. That does not mean that this show's focus or purpose is adverse to any other individuals. It just means that as a Black family, we got things that we need to take care of. So The Black Love Experience is a guide which provides right now relevant resources to foster positive relationships. The Black Love Experience is focused on win-win solutions for black men and women working together to become more effective through partnering for progress. We got a number of individuals in the chat room. Want to acknowledge Lauren 24, guest number 522, guest number 524. A number of callers are already on the switchboard. If you have a question or comment, something that you'd like to weigh in with, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the call-in number is area code 347-308-8527. So what led to this is that I was looking around at a number of my neighbors and recognizing that I have a lot of young males around me who seem to be stagnant. Their growth seems to be stunted. Many of these young men, I find myself oftentimes becoming depressed, looking at a lot of the young males around me who, when I get up in the morning and I go to the office, I smell the scent of weed, and I get up pretty early, 4 in the morning. I'm in the office at 6 a.m., and I smell weed at 4 a.m. in the morning. These young men are up smoking 4 a.m. in the morning. When I come back in the afternoon, early evening, I see many of these same young men standing in the stairwells and doorways, just watching life pass them by and on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, and I oftentimes look at them and I feel a sense of depression to just imagine how desolate many of them must feel that on a day-to-day basis that they just watch life pass them by. And many of them are like the character Tyrese played in Baby Boy, Jody. They're young males who have potential, but they're stuck. They're stagnant. And many of them are caught up in a situation in which they just don't know how to get out of it, or they don't have resources around them that encourage them to get out of that situation. It's a pretty bad situation, you know. So just looking at a lot of them, and I sat around with a group of young males, black males, a few weeks ago, and we actually watched the movie Baby Boy. And there was a particular portion of the movie that I wanted them to see, and I wanted to see how many of them would actually get it. And many of them heard this particular portion of the movie, and it was interesting, the dialogue that we had. This is from the movie Baby Boy.
Brother, break bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we...
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVDs? CDs? Masterpiece? Charlie's Angels?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least 3. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P! Look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. Mm. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
Are you ready to get your mind right?
I hope you are. Good morning. It's your man, Esther, on the Black Love Experience. Caller number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the caller number is 347-308-8527. If you have a question or comment, something you want to share constructively to weigh in with, press number 1 on your phone so that I know that you have a question or comment. So, just talking about buyers and sellers. When I see a lot of young black males, and I'm speaking specifically about young black males, this situation also pertains to a lot of black females, but specifically to young black males. Many of them pretend that they are sellers, whether they be selling weed, something else, DVDs, whatever it is. Many of them have the illusion that they're actually sellers, but they're actually buyers. They're actually middlemen for some other individual. Many of them actually work for the state or for the government, which just monitors their activities and allows them to make a certain amount of money to get to a certain level, and then they come along and confiscate all of the goods and all of the money and tell them that they have to show a legitimate source of income. And when they can't, they are incarcerated without legal counsel, without any resources, and the cycle begins over and over again. This is an ongoing process with many of them. So as a younger person, if you are listening to this, I want you to really be real with yourself and ask yourself, are you a buyer or a seller? Because if you're taking the risk of standing around in the doorways and the stairwells and hustling, and whatever that hustle may be on a day-to-day basis, and the risk don't outweigh the reward, you really need to start thinking about some of those choices that you're making. And if you are a parent who is enabling a younger person by allowing them to sit at home with a blunt pacifier in their mouth, and you give him or her $10 or $20 in the morning so that they can, you know, deal with their little weed habit or what have you, and you know that they're going to sit around all day long running your electricity, playing video games, and have no prospects of getting any source of income. And let's just be real. You know, school may not be for everyone. Everyone doesn't have to be classically educated in terms of going to what they might call higher education, whether that be a college or a trade school. There are lots of capable people who have done very well who've never attended any so-called higher education. But it just came down to those individuals applying themselves, those individuals realizing that they had to get up, get out, and get something, because you can't spend all your time trying to get high. But that's how a lot of people today are. And then we have those individuals who are 35 plus who are stuck in their second childhood. These are individuals who you may see, and I often see this, should be grown men standing in front of a chicken spot or a bodega asking for spare change, and usually for spare change from younger people, people who could be their children's age. Then I see some of these older people, or should be older people, standing around dressed up like young people, their pants sagging, trying to fit in with younger people because they're stuck in, as Nas would say, the check second childhood. Best way to illustrate that is take a listen. We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. When I float for the street,
who else could it be? Explode, my thoughts were drunken from courts of beers. Was years back before Nasir would explore career and rap. As a music dude, I mastered this Rubik's Cube. Godzilla, four gargantuan eyes glued to the tube. Was a long time ago. John Boy Ice, Geronimo Police, jumping out Chrysler's Easy Rider paper. Pops puffing his chest, punching his chest like a gorilla. Outside with psychos, killers. Saw Divine Goon and Chungo, Little Turkey, R.I.P. Tyrone. Remember no curse in front of Miss Mercy, Big Percy, Crazy Paul, the Sled Sisters. My building was 4016, once in the blue. Hallways was clean, I knew all that I seen that meant something. Learned early to fear none, little nozzles hunting, living carefree, laughing, got jokes on the daily. Y'all acting like some old folks, y'all don't hear me. Yo, I'm in my second child.
When I float for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet. Queensbridge, make everything right. Yours, nigga. When I float for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet. Queensbridge, make everything right.
Yo, it's yours. Dude is 31, living in his mom's crib. Ex-convict was paroled there after his long bid. Cornrows in his hair, still slinging, got a crew. They break his mom's furniture, watching Comic View. Got babies by different ladies high, smoking L's in the same spot he stood since 85. Well, when his stash slow, he be crazy. Saved by his mom, sitter on her payday. Junior high school dropout, teachers never cared. They was paid just to show up and leave. No one succeeds, so he moves with his peers. Different blocks, different years, sitting on different benches like his musical chairs. All his people's moved on in life. He's on the corners at night with young dudes, his dummy wanna be like. It's sad, but it's fun to him, right? He never grew up, 31 and can't give his youth up. He's in his second childhood.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet. Make everything right. It's yours, nigga. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet.
Baby girl, she's always talking, name dropping, hanging late, drinking, smoking, hates her baby daddy, crave shopping, eat popping, ecstasy taking, won't finish her education, best friend, she keeps changing, stuck with limitations, lusting men, many hotels, Fendi Chanel, with nothing in her bank account, frontin' she do well, her kid suffers, he don't get that love he deserves, he the sun, she the earth, single mom, even worse, no job, never stay working, man, purdy, shorty, they call her the brain surgeon, time flying, she the same person, never matures. All her friends married, doing well. She's in the streets, yakety yakking like she was 12. Honey is 27, argues, fights, selfish in her own right for life. Guess she's in her second childhood.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get yours, nigga. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, do the work of my feet. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get yours, get yours, get yours.
Who else could it be?
N.A.S.
They shit, man. I go up to one of them houses in Baldwin Hills, View Park, Ladera, bid for some of that yard work. You think they're going to open up their door for me?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Not your black ass.
No, but they open it up for a Mexican, though. I shit you
Mexican
not.
Mexican about to take California back. White folks mad about that shit.
Yeah, he look younger than you say.
No, he old. He old enough to be on his own. And when I was his age, I couldn't be hanging around my mama's house. Shit, that little nigga don't know how good he got it. As soon as I got 18, my mama kicked me out. And she locked me out on more than one occasion. They put me out. I wasn't wanted at all. I had to sleep on the street wherever I could.
I still live with my mom.
Well, damn. What? Fuck y'all,
mama,
man.
Boy.
With our guests, Kiera and T.L. Dantzler. So we are continuing our conversation, but we have a caller that is in queue from the 347 area code. So we're going to see if they have a comment about the book, You Can Get Over It. So caller from area code 347, you are on the line. Could you state your name and your comment?
Good evening. This is S.Dot calling from Brooklyn. Thank you for your guests that are on the call tonight. I'm actually looking forward to reading the book. A question that I have for you is, for a number of years, I've read a number of books, self-help books, books that are from a faith perspective, and many of these books are very general in the information that they put forth. And as a black man, more specifically, I find that a lot of them don't address the reality that a black person, more specifically a black man, is has to deal with a great deal of adversity. What, if anything, does your book say to this? And just on the show, what advice or counsel could you provide for any person that is a black person, a person of color, that is dealing with the very real reality of racism in a world which seems to be a thing that a lot of people duck and dodge and try to pretend doesn't exist?
Okay. What's your name again?
S.Dot.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're going to let TL and Kiara address your question first, and then I'll address your question as well. So just hold on the line, okay? So Kiara or TL, which one of you want to tackle his question? He talks about the many of the self-help books like yours speak in general, but how can you get more specific about the things that you guys are recommending that you do in your book?
Well, I think the book is full of a lot, as I said earlier. I believe it's full of a lot of solutions, that it is one of those books that attack things on a general basis. But, again, there are many times in the book where we get quite personal, and because we want to engage the readers to understand that this is not just something that we're writing from a Bible perspective or something that we were just because there, because to be honest with you, if that was just the case, then we wouldn't have to write this book. But we wrote this book so that we can allow people to see that we are in touch with the day-to-day struggles. We've been in touch with different things that, as you say, black people, you know, black man, and me coming from as a personal experience, there are many things that I even address that I went through in my life. And this is a brief book, but there's, like I said, there's so many solutions here that you can relate to. There's so many things that you can grab out of this book and just take it for yourself and digest it, because it's full of testimony. It's full of things that really help you to understand your purpose in life and how you're going to get to that purpose, what helps you to conquer different situations, and the tools that you need. And so, like I said, it's kind of general, but it gets to the personal part, which helps you to deal with the situations and the dilemmas of your heart.
All right. And, you know, just to further expound upon that, in the section in your talking about your purpose, I love the story of the man by the pool at Bethesda. And if that doesn't speak to a personal story about what each one of us needs to do in our personal lives to get to the next level, I don't know what does. You know, I use the phrase in my life, S.Dot, that are you going to live life or are you going to let life live you? And here's what I mean by that. We all know, me as a black man, TL as a black man, and you as a black man, sir, know that racism is real, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. There's all different types of racism, not only of cultures, but racism of genres, racism of women, racism of men, racism towards gays, racism towards different type of religion. So, yes, it exists. But with that being said, are we going to use that like the man at the pool of Bethesda as a crutch, waiting for somebody to take them where they need to go, or are we going to rise up, take up our bed, and walk? And are we going to do what it is that we need to do so that we can move ahead in spite of the racism mm-hmm. that is around us. Racism, mm-hmm. And I'm only speaking of racism because you brought that out, S-Tide. So racism mm-hmm. is as real where I am in Chicago as it is in Atlanta, where TL yep. and Kiara are, as real as it is in the Bronx where you are. But the difference is there's four different people in three different areas. And so every one of us has a choice on how we're going to deal with that situation and get through it. Is it going to be easy? No. But if anything was easy, then everybody would be doing it. And that's why the book is called Moving from Struggle to Strength, because it ain't going to be easy. I don't know what your personal situation is, and if you'd like more coaching on that, then, you know, you can reach out to us in the chat room or reach out to me at unstoppablecoaching.com, and we'll have a private conversation to work through your issues. But as sure as there is a situation, there is a solution to your situation. Sometimes we just have to ask the right questions to get the right answers that we're seeking. So God bless you, S. Todd. I hope that answers your question. Again, if not, you can reach back out to us here at the show, and that will probably be something that we'll be talking about in future shows, because it's not only, again, affecting you. It's affecting a lot of us each and every day, especially with the recession. So, and that's a good lead in to, you know, something else that S. Todd can do that you guys did. So if you're not finding the solution in somebody else's book, then by all means, write your own.
When niggas love revolution like they love the Bulls, Nike will no longer be able to sell $160 basketball shoes in the black community, because we would rather spend the money on liberation and revolution. Thank you. When niggas love revolution like they love the Bulls, they would love it, they will love it more than chitlins, more than all my children, more than Jerry Curl, more than permanent, more than Cadillacs and Mercedes Benz and Rolls Royces and BMWs cars. When niggas love revolution like they love the Bulls, when niggas love their family like they love the Bulls, when niggas love their children like they love the Bulls, when niggas love to be free like they love the Bulls, when niggas love struggle like they love the Bulls, when niggas love dignity like they love the Bulls, when niggas love niggas like they love the Bulls, we will become black people and all the bullshit will hit the fan. Just cause I love my niggas, I shed blood for my niggas. Let a nigga holler, where my niggas? All I want to hear is right here, my nigga.
We here, nigga. We here, nigga. We here, nigga.
You won't take this from me, baby. You will not take this from me, baby.
Baby.
You know.
My nigga.
Some niggas that you don't want to try.
My nigga.
Some niggas just really do or die.
My nigga.
We'll have you cowards ready to cry.
My nigga.
We'll fry.
My nigga.
We'll rob.
My nigga.
Keep niggas on they fucking job.
My nigga.
Know what it's like when shit getting hard.
My nigga.
Stay pulling you other niggas' cars.
My nigga.
It's God.
My nigga.
We'll shine.
My nigga.
Just knew it was a matter of time.
My nigga.
Let me know to keep fucking with the rhymes.
My nigga.
Ain't no longer living with crime.
My nigga.
It's fine.
My nigga.
It's good.
My nigga.
Keep you niggas knocking on wood.
My nigga.
Know how to take it back to the hood.
My nigga.
We'll put you down right where you stood.
My nigga.
They could.
My nigga.
They will.
My nigga.
Take it straight to the back and get ill.
My nigga.
Give it straight to the back when we kill.
My nigga.
Put niggas on ice so they chill.
My nigga.
It's still.
My nigga.
It's dogs.
My nigga.
You got to eat your own at this point in time. You got to have a racial cleanse where you breed these niggas out of, because the white man has grafted our race. He's grafted our race. You hear all these stories about when the Nation of Islam said that Yaqub grafted the white man? The white man raptured the nigga.
What's up, my niggas? I said, what's up, my niggas? That was a trick question. And it's nice to see that the tricky ones haven't tricked most of y'all into the answer. You see, niggas been passed through our families, generation to generation like cancer. It used to be said by slave masters who weren't in the business of breeding no dancing niggas. They only wanted good old field niggas. But I wonder how the field nigga would feel if he was sitting next to me on the A-train at approximately 3 o'clock any day of the week and he heard his little great-great-grandson speak dozens, if not hundreds of times from 59th Street to West 4th, the word that made black families pack up in the South and move north. Would he slam a couple of these boys against the doors and ask, what's the deal, nigga? Do you think you're keeping it real, nigga? Do you know how I was killed, nigga? They murdered me with hot rods of steel, nigga. Now how do you think this makes me feel, nigga? Or would he just sit there and listen silently like white people do? Silently like I do. Silently like we all do. So what do? I go down to Wall Street. Do you know why they call it Wall Street? Because centuries ago, there were these huge high walls. And down on the street, slaves with shackles on their feet were going to be bought and sold by the fleet like shares of intel. Phrases shouted daily like, where's my niggas? There's my niggas. Whose niggas are those? Now here we are centuries after slavery, insulting our ancestors' bravery by shouting phrases daily like, where's my nigga? What up, nigga? You know you my nigga, right? So don't blame the boys on the A-train. Blame the men who put the myth it was okay to say it in their brain. Blame the kings of comedy, the all-time nigga record holders. Put the blame on the Hughes brothers, the Quentin Tarantino shoulders. And hopefully this nigga poem is making you uncomfortable to the point where you're cracking your neck and staring down at the ground, looking to your left and your right. See the white people around, helping you realize that you've been bamboozled if you think you have to wear blackface to be a clown. But I gotta go now, I gotta go now, I gotta go now. I gotta get this poem in the hands of the artist formerly known as Prince now. Because when it comes to talent, ain't nobody's bigger. And maybe this poem could be the gun, and his voice could be the trigger. And we could collaborate and figure a way to convince Jigga to help us write a new dream song, our new theme song, and call it the people formerly known as niggas.
Say we NIGGER, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books. We are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto. With old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top the big TV eating TV dinners. Girls got a hair with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons, we made lemonade. But this nigga's paid, ancestry of slaves. Descendant of kings is necessary, I blink. Put rims on everything, wear Tims on every scene. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Do I mean it like a slave master, nigga? No, I'm gangster, gotta eat rappers. My abbreviation was young when I caught the cases. That should mean the court could see my changes. Take off the bracelets, Savage went broke. Smoke sour diesel, need no Bowflex. My chest still cut up like a bag of dope. Thought patterns consist of boss matters. Spit Moses' lost commandments like a gross sandwich out my mouth.
toast to government cameras peeping us every week. I must have my cars, homes, and phones sweep for bugs. But this is what I was dreaming of. Between cutting hard coke with new razors slicing my fingers up. They used to string us up. We wanted everything. But the one bringing us cake be the snakes like the New Jack City wedding scene. No time for mistakes, trying to get it like Medellin. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. People afraid of criticism, but I always put myself in a sacrificial position. They been know I ain't just rapping for fame. I got my old homie half since the father acted for change. Yup, I get a cash up. This paper don't matter. They see me from skinny to fatter. When I rap about war, they got a tendency to scatter. They ain't my backup no more. So now my enemies are at my front door. Cause anytime we mention our condition, our history, our existence, they calling it reverse racism. Still to this day the streets torn. My brother Jung, I always have a seat for him. Not behind me, beside me. You always know where to find me. They say the close ones are hurt you. So let's keep a small circle. On the road to riches and diamond rings. In the land of the blind, a man with one eye is the king. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R. We are much more. But still we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Just cause I love my niggas, I shed blood for my niggas. Let a nigga holler where my niggas. All I want to hear is right here, my nigga.
Well, the expression of the hatred, it's not really hatred in its essence. It's just, you know, it's an ersatz hatred. It's an artificial hatred. Because, like I said, once you are packed like sardines into a situation, and then the situation is designed to put more and more pressure on each individual, the individual organism, whether it's a person or an animal or an insect, will lash out. You will lash out and whatever is closest to you. And what's closest to you is the slave that's chained to you. And so black people automatically are going to lash out at each other. Now, there is a compensatory way for handling that. That's what the compensatory code is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about problem solving. Now, that is a serious problem. Always has been. But we haven't been handling it in the correct manner. We've been trying to handle it saying, well, we must embrace each other. We must hug each other. We must love each other. And we come up with all these things that are designed for a ideal situation. We're not in an ideal situation. It's not going to happen. That love and that caring and whatnot is not going to happen. Not under the system of racism, because of the scenario that I just laid out. I use just the analogy of the slave ship, just as a format so people can get that picture in your mind. You go on the slave ship and you are saying, oh, we are being persecuted. Oh, we are being made slaves of. Oh, there are some strange people have come and taken us and put us in these chains. And now they're putting us on this ship. Now, for the first 2 or 3 days, everybody's cooperative. Everybody's trying to share the little food that they got and all like that. About end of that second month, if not sooner, those slaves start hitting each other with everything they got. They start kicking and scratching and screaming and yelling and calling each other every type of thing like they wouldn't believe. They are no longer the same people just in a couple of months. Now, that's what has happened over a period of many hundreds of years to the black people of this planet. So we automatically lash out at each other. That is very well ingrained. When we start looking for someone to jump on, we look at each other.
Wow.
I mean, we do that automatically. We wake up in the morning with that in our minds.
Wow. I mean, when we get ready to go on the job, we're going to go on the job, and we're going. Our black co-worker is the one that we're going after. Wow. I mean, we just have that. We have had it so long, we don't even know that we have it.
Just because I love my niggas, I shed blood for my niggas. Let a nigga holler where my niggas. All I want to hear is right here, my nigga.
Rest and I stood standing as our friends headed in for what possibly may be our last night. John, asked Reski. Yes, ma'am, I answered. She sat back down and said, I knows how you got here, and I knows you have to make all this come to pass. I even knows how you're supposed to go on home. But tell me something, baby. Where's all y'all come from, this 1999 place? What's it like, John? I listened to Reski ask questions that I really didn't know how to answer. She looked anxious to hear. I hesitated as she placed her hand over mine. Not this time, Reski. Just listen. She said, puzzled but anxious to hear, and I began shamefully. Years from now, the white folks up north and the white folks down south will have a big war about us being free. The north will win, and Africans will be let go. Some of us will go back to Africa. The rest will stay. Some will have been here too long and won't know nothing else. Those that stay will have nothing to start with, but they will leave the plantation anyhow. The rest of them will stay and take whatever master give them. Then for about 100 years, that's a long time from now, you know, we'd go look like free people and live on our own plantations, but things will still be wrong. Till one day a strong African woman, just like you, Reski, will say she don't want to ride in the back of the wagon no more, that she want to ride up front. That will start a big uprising that lasts for a while. They will call it the rights movement. The what? She asked. Never mind, Reski. Just call it the time the ancestors heard our cry. These times we'll fight hard so we can eat in all the big houses with them. Drinks out the same well, even use the same outhouses. We will go wherever they go, eat whatever they eat, act like them, and talk like them, too. Why would you fight hard to not be like yourself, John? Don't make sister be like the one that calls you a nigger, said Reski. Well, Reski, I said, white folks won't call us niggers no more, or beat us hardly anymore. They will do it another way. Through some they call the system. What's a system, she asked. I tried to explain to the eager Reski. It's like going into a master's house because he has said that's where you got to live, and all the rooms in the house got a different kind of battle that you got to fight. That's a system. That's when you got to beat the system, and then you can have the things that you work hard for, the same thing master has. I was confused, John. Why were you going to the house in the first place? I thought you said that you had your own. Reski asked again. I smiled at my wonderful aunt and continued. When we fought to get where Master was, some of us Africans forgot where we've come from. Now we're stuck in Master's house and his system, but don't realize that we're stuck in it. And some of the ones that stayed back is waiting on Master and some of us Africans to come back and get him. The rest ain't waiting. They's mad. So mad they're killing each other. They figures we ain't coming to help them because they're black. So they starts to hate themselves. Start doing things to look like master. So maybe folks can look at them and treat them different. They understand they's a part of another system. It's so crazy that here all are white folks that have been put in the system too. Reski remained curious. She then wanted to know about the rest of the game. Where's your friends at in this 1999? I said, well, Rev is telling black folk they can have riches and all if they put their trust in God, except he don't tell them that the way Master got it fixed, everybody can't be rich. And since most black folk is caught up in the system, they only see riches and power like Master. Ward is like a new kind of Caleb. He don't whip you, but he's still trained to do anything Master tells him. Izzy don't trust no man, because most of them done been broken by the system. The rest is like Ward. Cat and Aaron, they sing, but only about black folks killing each other, taking off their clothes, and having their way with each other. They call each other niggas and wenches in their songs. Ressa's look revealed a sad face. What she was hearing from me was unbelievable. I continued on. Carrie walks up. Carrie works at one of the biggest plantations Massa got. He runs and jumps for lots of money. More money than lots of white folks got. Sometimes folks like Carrie does good things, better than most. But Carrie don't know himself either. He makes lots of babies like he is a breeder. Except in 1999, there ain't no more breeding going on. Where are you at in all of this, John? Bessie asked, looking with the concern that I would not let her down. I answered, I was what you call conscious, Ressa. That means I knows what's going on most of the time. But I started off like Ward and Carrie. Listen to the songs Cat and Aaron sing. I even listened to Rev and new women like Lizzie. I found out about myself and Massa. I don't blame Massa no more, not in 1999. See, I asked Massa in the uprising for my rights. Then I asked him to let me read and write, then for a good job. Massa gave it all to me. And when he didn't, I fought him for it, and I won. But you know, Ressa, God still didn't fully bless me. Ask me whose I am. Where did I come from? Why is I here? He said, I didn't make you, John. Just what are you anyhow? You sure ain't no man of mine. You just like the rest of them. Then I prayed and asked him for help to know my true self and have wisdom. He blessed me. So I went back to get the rest of the field hands. Except since I've been here these 7 days, I knows now what God also wants me to do. Ressa asked, what's that, baby? He wants me to get the house hands too, including Caleb. Ressa nodded her head as though she understood. I hadn't realized it, but I was crying. I never had to explain anything in this fashion. It all seemed so clear. I now knew why I had come back. It wasn't about saving or loving a few conscious and African-centered people, but the unconscious ones as well, the way I once was. I looked at Ressa. She smiled. Now that's some powerful story. I couldn't help but laugh a little, thinking back to my comment Sunday under the oak tree. I said, especially if the ancestors have anything to do with it. Tell me one more thing, baby, Ressa asked. If we done been asking God before 1831 up until 1999 to help us, then maybe we asking for the wrong kinds of help. Maybe God don't want to give us all the same things Massa got. Maybe some of what Massa got ain't that good in his eyes. You know, Ressa, I've read many a book that done taught me a lot and answered lots of questions. But what you said is the best I ever heard. Black folk done walked off the plantation, but some, they left their minds sitting in the quarters. Thank you.
Just cause I love my niggas, I shed blood for my niggas. Let a nigga holler, where my niggas? All I want to hear is right here, my nigga.
Us living as we do, upside down, and the new word to have is revolution. People don't even want to hear the preacher spill or feel, because God's whole God has been thoroughly peaked, and America is now blood and tears instead of milk and honey. The youngsters who were programmed to continue bucking up woke up one night, digging Paul Revere and Nat Turner as the good guys. America stripped for bed, and we have not all yet closed our eyes. The signs of truth were tattooed across our orphanage's vagina. We learned to our amazement the untold tale of scandal. Two long centuries buried in a musty vault, hosed down daily with a gagging perfume. America was a bastard, the illegitimate daughter of the mother country, whose legs were then spread around the world, and a rapist known as freedom, free doom. Democracy, liberty, and justice were revolutionary code names that preceded the bubbling, 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 bubbling in the mother country's crotch. What does Webster say about soul? All I want is a good home and a wife and a children and some food to feed them every night.
After all is said and done, build a new route to China if they'll have you. Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America?
You got white thoughts in your black head.
What's good, family? It's your man, Estat, back for the Black Love Experience. Today's episode is entitled Get Up, Get Out, and Get Something. And I wanted to talk a little bit about sticks and stones. Growing up, we often heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And many of us didn't recognize the origin of that expression. And that expression is one that our ancestors came up with in response to the cruel, barbaric, heinous conditions that they found themselves facing outside of the motherland, which is Akubalon, commonly called Africa. Many of them, when they were brought in shackles after the Maiafa to the Western Hemisphere and scattered throughout the diaspora, they had to develop a thick skin. Now, we know that the term nigger, as it is used today, commonly amongst a lot of people, they oftentimes say that they are using this as a term of endearment. And to many of them, they say, they respond, you know, it's not the word, it's how you say it. It's the feeling attached to how you say it. It's the intonation. I've heard acronyms such as, I'm not saying N-I-G-G-E-R, I'm saying N-I-G-G-A, for instance. Never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. We oftentimes talked about that. But then I hear individuals who classify themselves as conscious, whatever that means, saying things like, nigga is a derivative of negas or nega, which is an Ethiopian term for king, royalty. And when I look at the context in which many individuals throw around this term and use this term towards one another, they're certainly not saying, what up, my king? What's good, my king? So a lot of that is bullshit. And I think that the basis of this is that when you are powerless to do anything about your condition, your situation, that you accept and embrace the most derogatory situations and you make excuses about them rather than confront them. And one of the things that I recognize is that because black males have allowed themselves to be niggerized and embraced being niggerized, we have most definitely lost the respect of the black female. You know, the habitual nigger has all sorts of rationalizations for being a nigger. These niggers have scholarly debates on being niggers. They will research the phonetic origin of nigger. There will be lengthy discussions on the merits of being a nigger and historical examples of niggers. These niggers will appear so deep in their shallow logic. And if they meet resistance, these niggas will throw up their hands in disgust and say stuff like, you think you better than niggas, while reminding you others will call you a nigger anyway. So these niggas have decided to make the most of being a nigger and espouse a nigger for life, real nigger for life philosophy. Niggas won't just disappear because you decide you don't want to be a nigger no more, or that nigger is no longer acceptable for you. In fact, that's when niggers will become even more visible. Niggers will be everywhere. You will encounter so many niggers, you'll wonder how in the hell will you ever lose your nigger mind. So until next episode, I'd like to challenge you, the listener, to go on a nigger fast. Take the next 21 days. Begin the process of trying to refrain from being a nigger, anybody's nigger, and just see how difficult it is. And ask yourself while you're doing it and you're dealing with this difficulty, why is it so difficult for you to get nigger free? until next time, I remind each and every one of you to get up, niggers. That's right. Get up, niggers. That's an acronym that we use around here for gun. Get up, niggers. Because when you find yourself in a downtrodden position, sometimes you need something radical to wake you up. So get up, niggers. That's right. Get up, niggas. So until next time, it's your man, S-Dot. Thank each and every one of you for listening. Send me an email at thestotfiles@gmail.com. That's thestotfiles. Or you can follow us on all the social networks, /thestotfiles, thestotfiles. And until next time, black love.
Love my mother, love my baby, sisters and brothers. Love my father, cause that's my mom's partner. Love my grandmother and my grouchy ass grandfather. Love my aunties on both sides of the family, uncles, cousins, nieces and nephews. Mess with my peoples, you get stepped to. Love the mother of my children, them girls are special. Love feels good, though we stuck in the hood. Love my last album, though the joint went hood. My mans and my enemies, I love them too. Love God, he let me see past 32. Plus what he gave Wu, a chance to change music, just listen. You and I know the truth. Love is essential to some, is detrimental. Mostly wanna use the next person as a rental.
Love, oh, let us higher, take us higher. Lock up every ghetto flower, cause love, only love, has that healing power. And we could never live without its own love.
Love life, the ground we walk on. My sickness, it made me strong. My loved ones in heaven, the ones we lost to heaven. Malcolm, Martin, and what they stood for, the men had it popping. Love the sun when raindrops in. Cozy nights with my pumpkin. Love my hell and my struggle. You gotta go to hell or come out right. Love conquers pain in the puzzle. Funny on how love can end so subtle. Was it just sex and not really love for the couple? Love people. Love the fact when there's a baby being born, like Bush girl, come on. I'm not just saying that cause BT's on. We've won one love, each one, teach one.
I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.